All right, there's a pasuk at the end of benching that we say whenever we bench, and I never understood it, and I think that it's a pretty puzzling pasuk on the surface. That pasuk is Na'ar ha'yisi, gam zakanti, v'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'azav, v'zari mevakesh lachem. Right, it's become a lot of popular songs over the years, but reading the pasuk, it doesn't. I mean, literally translated, it means I was young and now I'm old. And I never saw a tzaddik that was ne'ezav, which translated to mean like left destitute, left alone, basically not taken care of. And his children were looking for bread or asking for bread, right? Basically means I never saw a tzaddik that was poor, that his family needed to collect money. But there's probably every single person that's listening to this knows tens, if not hundreds of people that, you know, are good people that just can't make ends meet, that need to go rely on people asking for bread for them. So what does it mean? I never really understood it. And a few months ago, while I was benching, actually, Hashem really just put an idea in my head, which I think is fascinating, and I think you guys will think so too. And that's really where this all develops from. So just to answer the basic question, Rav Hirsch basically says that it doesn't mean that somebody will, that they'll never ever need to collect money. He reads the pasuk as follows, that Na'ar ha'yisi gam zakanti v'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'azav. Hashem, he's basically, Tehillim is saying that Hashem will never let a tzadik be ne'azav, that to the point that even if his children are asking for bread, he won't have anything. Meaning Hashem basically set up a fail safe of tzedakah, that even if he doesn't have money, his kids will always ask, be able, his family will be able to raise money, to ask for money, and he will be able to be supported by that. Meaning everybody will be taken care of, whether by Hashem or by people, everybody's going to be taken care of. Fine. So one day during benching, you know, I was thinking about this pasuk a little bit, and I don't know why, but the first thing that hit me was that Yosef's called a Na'ar, right? Na'ar ha'yisi, Yosef, I know we call Yosef's called a Na'ar, right? We said at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, v'hu Na'ar espinei vilav espinei zol, but Yosef is called a Na'ar. Okay, I don't know if that was enough to do anything with, but it was sort of just marinated in my head for a little bit. And then I realized that if you keep reading in the pasuk, Na'ar ha'yisi gam zakanti. So in last week's parsha, when the brothers came down to Mitzrayim, it says Yosef recognized them, but they didn't recognize him. And most of us know the famous Rashi that says that the reason why didn't they recognize him, right? He was their brother. They grew up together. It says because when Yosef left, they all had beards, but he didn't. And when he came back, when they came back now to Mitzrayim, he had a beard, but he didn't have one before. So he recognized them, but why did they not recognize him? Because gam zakanti, we know the Gemara in a bunch of places called a beard, a zakein, right? That's really the distinguishing factor between an elderly person who comes with a beard, right? So gam zakanti doesn't necessarily need to mean I became old. It means that I now became bearded. So Yosef was a Na'ar, and then he became bearded, gam zakanti. V'lo ra'isi tzadik ne'ezav. And, you know, can we read the rest of this pasuk? Then I'm starting to think, can we read the rest of this pasuk in accordance with the Yosef story? So the question would be, did he ever see a tzaddik that was not left ne'ezav? And I think the answer is a resounding yes, because Yosef is told by Yehuda, basically the backstory of what happened when they were trying to bring Binyamin back down to Mitzrayim, and Yaakov says that I can't let him come down. And when Yosef's telling this over to, when Yehuda's telling this over to Yosef, the words that Torah used to describe that is La Yuchal Hanar La'azev es Aviv. The Na'ar can't La'azev, can't be Azav his father, but Azav es Aviv a Mason. If he is Ne'azav from his father, if he's Ozev his father, his father will die, right? But what happened? Basically, the famine was so strong that Yaakov had to say, listen, I have to send Binyamin down. So in effect, as far as everybody else is concerned, Yaakov has been Ne'ezav, right? V'azav esaviv, he leaves his father. His father will be Ne'ezav. As far as everybody knows, Yaakov is back in Eretz Canaan. He's Ne'ezav, right? That's the verb that's happening to him. He is Ne'ezav. Yosef is the only one that knows that's not in fact the case, that he is not in fact Ne'ezav. And I think that the pasuk, with the fact that it says Na'ar ha'yisi gam zakanti v'lo ra'isi, I didn't see, meaning I was the only one who didn't see the scenario as a tzaddik being Ne'ezav. Everybody else thought that that's what was happening, right? Yosef's the only one that knows that he's in good hand, and obviously v'zar mevakesh lachem, you know, the tzaddik, meaning Yaakov Avinu's children, are now asking for bread. So this entire pasuk really wraps up Yosef, right? Nara Yisi, originally he was a Nara, Vigam Zakanti, he had a beard now, and the brothers are in front of him, Velo Ra'isi, and I didn't see tzaddik Ne'ezav, a tzaddik that was left aside. Everybody else thinks he's been Ne'ezav, I'm the only one who knows that he hasn't been. V'zahar Mevakesh Lachem, and when did all of this happen? The Gam Zakanti and the Ne'ezav, all of this happened while his children were looking for bread. So that got me thinking that maybe the rest of this Kapitel Tehillim, maybe the rest of this Perek Tehillim has what to do with Yosef. So it happens to be, it's Perek Lamed Zayin, and I think that it really, like on a deep level, goes through the story of Yosef, and I think it's absolutely fascinating. So it would take way too long to go. It's 40 psukim long. It would take way too long to go through all 40 psukim. So I'm going to pick out psukim and sort of explain them how I see them as describing the Yosef story and the message to get from there. If you have time, I really implore you. I think it would be an amazing idea to go through the entire Perek of Tehillim and really, really read it carefully. I think it's beautiful. But let's get started. So the kapitel starts, L'David, al tischar b'mareim, do not compete with evildoers, the people who are doing evil, al tekane b'oisei avla, and don't become jealous of those who are doing avla, like an injustice, or those who are doing not the right thing. Why not? Ki kachatzir mehera yimalu, they will wither like grass, uchiyerek esev yibaylon, and they will get cut off, they will become dried out like grass. So the first two psukim are talking about basically don't be like the Rishon. Why? Because even if the Rishon looks like they're succeeding now, eventually they will always get dried out because they're not connected to Hashem. That's what the Mefarshim say. So they're always going to end up getting dried out. Now, I think what's interesting to note is that this, if we're talking about the Yosef story, this kapitel is really to tell us about the Yosef story. So to start from the beginning, I think that both the brothers and Yosef could technically be the one speaking in this parak of Tehillim. Now, before I get into that a little bit deeper, when I say speaking, well, I'm going to say a few times that Yosef speaking in this Kapitel Tehillim, or Yaakov speaking, or the brothers are speaking, it doesn't mean obviously that they're speaking because they didn't write Tehillim. David HaMelech wrote Tehillim. But I think a lot of Tehillim, and I've gotten a lot of this, Rabbi Foreman has a lot to say on this, and I think it's true. A lot of Kapitel Tehillim, when you read them, a lot of the Pirkei Tehillim, they're clearly and obviously explanations or discussions about what happens in Tanakh and the Torah. Like, for example, you want to know, Barchi Nafshi, which we just said on Rosh Chodesh, is clearly a recounting of the creation story. Like, you can't argue with that, but it's in a different order, and there's other things there. It happens to be, if you want to read Barchi Nafshi inside, you could really sort of view it as a description of the Mabul, right? So, and you can read that inside and check it out. Try to find where it's talking about the Mabul. It's kind of interesting. But a lot of Pirkei Tehillim are explanations on the Torah. When I say Yosef's talking in this kapitel, I don't mean that he's literally talking. I mean that a way to read what David HaMelech wrote is as if Yosef's talking to teach us a lesson, just as a preface. But I think that the beginning of the kapitel starts with basically somebody saying, don't do like the evil people, be a good person, pretty much. Even if the evil people are succeeding, be a good person. Now, I think that both the brothers and Yosef could be saying that, because the brothers obviously thought Yosef was a Rasha, that's why they sold him. And Yosef, I don't know if he thought that they were necessarily Rasha'im, but he definitely didn't think his brothers were good people. That's why he was, right, he bought the Dibasim Ra'al Aviyim, that's why he was talking bad about them. And he caused them in some way to hate him. So he definitely didn't think that I'm sure it doesn't seem like he thought they were, you know, absolute tzaddikim. But if you read a little bit further, the next few psukim after that, I think that really differentiates and shows you that it can't be the brothers talking about Yosef, that the brothers are the tzaddikim, right? Meaning in their minds they might have been, but the kapitel is telling us that the definition of being a tzaddik in a scenario where you're faced against a rasha, you have to do a certain thing to continue along that path, and that's what Yosef did. I'm going to read you the psukim. So pasuk dalet. V'his'aneg al Hashem v'yitin l'cha mishal yistabach. If you rejoice with Hashem while you're going through this adversary situation with the Russia, if you rejoice with Hashem, Hashem will give you whatever your heart desires, whatever your heart asks for. Goel al Hashem, Goel al Hashem, roll your needs onto Hashem. If you trust in Him, then He will do for you. He will bring like the light forward your righteousness, meaning he'll show the world that you're righteous, and like the afternoon, your justice will come out, like the afternoon brightness, right, when the sun's setting. It's very bright. The next pasuk, daim la Hashem v'hischeil alay. If you basically wait quietly for Hashem, and tulashanis of waiting. Al tischer b'matzliach darkai. Don't wonder. Don't look after the person who is b'matzliach darkai with this Russia who is being successful now. B'ishai say mezimais with the person he's making. He's doing crooked things. He's doing evil things, right? So now those four psukim are all basically saying, don't do anything. Even if the Russia is beating you, even if the Russia is doing things that look like they're the wrong thing and he's being successful, don't try to compete with him. Don't try to get in his way. The Gemara says that, quotes another pasuk from somewhere else in Tanakh, I forgot where it is, that every Russia has his time, right? Let them be. If you sit patiently, Hashem will end up bringing out your justice. And the brothers didn't really wait patiently. They took action and sold Yosef. They obviously thought that was the correct action, but they did not sit patiently and silently. Yosef, on the other hand, really sat patiently. He didn't really do anything. He didn't fight back. Maybe I don't think he fought. It doesn't sound like he fought back against the brothers. He never tried to leave Mitzrayim. He really was just, he accepted what happened to him. And I think the words v'his'aneg al Hashem also apply specifically to Yosef, because he was able to have the Shekhinah rest on him. And the Rambam says the Shekhinah can't rest on you if you're not in a state of happiness. So he was within all of this that was happening while he was in Mitzrayim. He was in the state of v'his'aneg al Hashem. Right, he was silent, he was just waiting. He knew that Hashem was on his side, and he knew that Hashem eventually will bring out his justice and bring out the fact that he is the righteous one. Right, now Pasuk Yud, jumping to Pasuk Yud, it says like this. This is amazing. Va'oid ma'at ve'ein rasha, a little bit longer, is talking to the tzaddik. We're telling the tzaddik, don't wait it out, don't worry. Va'oid ma'at, in a little bit of time, ve'ein rasha, there will no longer be a wicked person. By nanta'al makayma, you will focus, you will try to understand his position where he was, where the rasha was standing before, ve'einenu, and he will not be there. Now, this word einenu is not necessarily a common word in the Torah. It appears, I think, like 15 times, which is not at all common for the Torah, for the amount of times a word would appear. It's not a common word, and it just happens to be the word that Reuven uses to describe Yosef, right? When Reuven was the one who told the brothers to put him into a pit, thinking in his head that he's going to come back and get him. And when he tries to come back and get him, it says that he wasn't there, right? And then he goes back to the Reuven, then goes to the brothers and says, "V'hayelad einenu, v'ani ana ani ba." The child is not there, and where am I going to go? What am I supposed to do, right? So this, I think, v'einenu is just telling you, it's showing you again how it's talking about the story of Yosef. But I think that you could take this even a level deeper, and there's a way to read this pasuk that is like the Yosef story, but on such a deeper level. So here we go. I'm going to read the pasuk again. Va'od ma'at, in a little more time, v'ein Russia, there will be no more Russia, meaning you will see the same person, but you won't see him as a Russia anymore. You'll just see that Yosef was not the evil person that you thought he was. V'hispainanta al makaymai, and if you truly try to understand and focus and get to the bottom of his place, meaning the space that Yosef occupies in this world, like what is Yosef all about, you will see that einenu, he never was a Russia. He was never there. Einenu is very strong lashon of not being there. He was never, ever there. Yosef was never a Russia. There was never a Russia there. All it was a somebody who was younger than the rest of them trying to be their leader. They didn't like that. And in their minds, they obscured their vision to make him a Russia, right? They set out to see him as a Russia, and that's why they were able to sell him off. But it was their own minds that turned him into a Russia in their heads. And I think that's just a really cool, I think that pasuk is just a really cool way of also telling us another story about the Yosef, another point about the Yosef story, or another few more points, and then we'll get to the message, a few more points about how it's, just to show it's talking about the Yosef story. So pasuk Yud Bey says, Zomim Rasha Latzadik, V'chorek Alav Shinav, the wicked man was going to plot against the righteous, and he grates his teeth, like he gnashes his teeth when he thinks about the tzaddik. So just by definition, the word zomim comes from Edom Zomim, plotting witnesses, right? So the word zomim, by definition, the Gemara says, means when you plot but don't do. And the brothers, they plotted to kill him, they plotted to sell him into slavery, but they absolutely were not able to execute that plan. Hashem made sure that they did not execute that plan. That's just Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Gimel. It says, Hashem Yischak Lo, that Hashem laughs about. So all the Mefarshim, most of the Mefarshim say that it means that Hashem laughs about the Russia, because, you know, the Russia thinks it's all successful. Hashem's laughing at him because he knows that his day is coming. Hashem knows that the Russia's day is coming. But I think that you could possibly read it. If you read it inside, you could see. I think it's very easy to read the pasuk as that Hashem is laughing with the tzaddik because he knows that the tzaddik's success is going to be coming soon. Meaning not as this evil way to get against the Russia, not as this like malicious, you know, vengeful God who's going against the Russia. It's that the tzaddik's time is coming. So right now he has it hard, but don't worry. Like that type of a laugh. Like it'll be okay. Like a chuckle like that. I think without a doubt that we, you know, at this point, about halfway through the capital, I think it's very clear that this is telling us about the Yosef story. So very nice, it's talking about the Yosef story. Okay, what comes of it, right? So I think this is the turning point. What I'm about to tell you is, I think, the turning point of the Perek Tehillim, and this is where the message really starts coming out. So Pasuk Yud Tes in Perek Lamed Zayin, which is what we're talking about in Tehillim, it says, Lo Yevayshu Be'is Ra'ah, so it's talking now about the tzaddik, and it says that even in bad times, he will not become yevesh, literally means dried out, but it means he won't be undernourished, he'll always have something to eat, he won't be like, you know, a completely dried out person, and even in times of hunger, he will be satisfied, right? So yispo is even more, is even like full, he'll be full, the person will be full from food, even in times of famine, which seems like a contradiction. And then I'm going to skip Pasuk Chaf Aleph 21, it says, Leva Russia v'le yishalim, tzaddik chayim v'naisin, that the Russia borrows and does not repay, but the tzaddik graciously gives, right, is gracious and gives. So I think obviously, if this is obviously talking about the case of the brothers again, because, you know, Uvimeira Avin Yispo, while there was a hunger, who was full, Yosef's brothers, they were able to come down to Mitzrayim, and they had an inn with the person who happened to be in charge of all the food, so they were satisfied, they had food. And then Vitzadik Chonin Venosin, that Yosef is now turning the pasuk, clearly defines Yosef now as the tzaddik, and it says that the tzaddik is the one that's the graciously giving, even though he could have turned a cold shoulder to the brothers and be like, you guys sold me, why on earth would I give you anything? But no, he graciously, regardless of anything, he says that I'm going to feed you. But now here's the turning point, because till now the brothers were sort of proposed in Tehillim as the adversaries of Yosef. Here now they're saying they're not really adversaries of Yosef. They're not Rishaim, because it says that Rishaim do not get food, right? It says before that Rishaim don't get food, but here it says that. Right, when it says that Uvimira Avin Yisbo is talking about the tzaddik, and it doesn't say that explicitly that the brothers are tzaddikim, but it very clearly explains that they had food, and, you know, they got food, and they're not Rasham if they got food, because we're talking about that tzaddikim will end up getting food. So I think here's where it starts turning, and the brothers are not really viewed as Rasham necessarily. They're not explicitly spoken about as tzaddikim, but they're not Rasham at all. And why? I think the next important pasuk is pasuk Chav Dalid, ki yipol layuto ki Hashem somech yadai, that even when somebody falls, ki yipol, even when you fall, layuto, yuto means, the Mefarshim say, it means when you won't get thrown to the ground, like completely, you know, completely knocked down. Even when you fall, you'll fall a little bit, you'll stumble, but you won't like really get knocked down. Why? Not because of your own merits, not because of anything that you have to do, because ki Hashem somech yadai, Hashem will support your hand, right? So I think this is talking about the brothers, and Hashem will support your hand. Hashem will always support hand, even of those in need, even if they've not necessarily have done the right thing all those years ago. Now, the next pasuk is our pasuk, right? Now, Harisi Gamzakanti, Vlera Isi Tzadik Nezav, Hazar Mivakish Lacham. I think now it switches to Yosef's perspective to say that, yes, Hashem will take care of everybody. Yosef is the one who can take credit and say, I was a Nar, and now I'm a Zakin, and I have every single excuse in the book to treat these people incorrectly. But I'm going to be the impetus that I'm going to be the messenger of Hashem to feed this tzaddik and his children that are mevakish lachem, right? I'm going to be the person who does that. I'm going to be the one that, through all my suffering, I was silent, waiting for Hashem. It ended up turning around for me, and once I get there, I'm going to be exactly like what Hashem does when people are bad to Hashem. I'm not going to vengefully come back against them. I'm going to take all of that, be okay with it, and give to them. Just v'chonin v'nosin. Chonin means grace, like when you don't have to give, when you don't have to give at all, but you just give because you want to. And now we're going to skip to the end of the kapitel, and this, I think, is just super powerful. The end of the kapitel, pasuk 37, Lamed Zayin. This is almost the end of the kapitel. It says, Shemar tamu re'e yashar ki acharis le'ish shalom. Watch the pure one and see the straight one. Why? Because the end of the man, the end game of the man will be peace, right? It'll be peaceful. So to me, this screams out Yaakov Avinu, right? Shamar Tam is Yaakov Ishtam. So watch out. Watch Yaakov. See what's going to happen to him. Re'eh Yashar. Yashar is Yisrael, right? And see whenever. So Yaakov has two personalities, Yaakov and Yisrael. So watch the Tam. Look at the Yashar. And why ki achris le'ishalom? We know that this obviously all was very upsetting to Yaakov, but it all ended up being peaceful for him. And as much as, and I think that this is talking not from Yosef or anybody else's perspective, but this is from Hashem's perspective. And the last two psukim after that are very, we know them very well. Ushuas tzadikim Hashem, ma'uzam beis tzara, I'm sorry, beyazrim Hashem, ve'yifaltim, yifaltim yirasham v'yashiyim ki chasuvai. I feel like I should start Kaddish now. I'm kidding. But I think it means that what this is trying to tell us is that Ushuas tzadikim Hashem, what we have to remember, and this is going back, I think, to the beginning of the kapitel, Ushuas tzadikim Hashem, who is the tzadik? Yosef is Yosef tzadik, right? How are you a tzadik when you know that your salvation comes from Hashem? And even when things are going bad, and even when the people were mean to you and bad to you and have done wrong things to you, to know that Hashem is there with you, it might not happen right now, but to know that Hashem is there with you throughout, right? Ma'uzam be'es tzara. Hashem is our ma'ayz. To me, the word ma'ayz is like a picture of somebody right when you get that feeling that you can take on any challenge. You could do anything. That's ma'uzam. That's, I think, what ma'ayz. Hashem is our ma'ayz. He is that strength for us, that inner strength that there is nothing that can get in my way. That push comes to shove. Forget about our own merits. Forget about everything else. What we have to know is that we have a safety net like nobody else in the world. That Hashem will save us. He will help us. He will save us from Rishayim, and he will redeem us. Why? Ki chasuvai ki chas. Because just because he cares about us, right? He wants us to succeed, and he cares about us more than anything. And all that we need to do is to believe in that and believe in him. And eventually, it might take a long time. For Yosef, it took years. You know, I know that just last week I saw a recording of Shalom Mordechai Rubashkin's party of his 1-year anniversary. So for him, it took 8 years. But if you've listened to him speak to him for those entire 8 years, it was never, ever a question of if I will get out. It was a question of when will I get out. Like throughout, you listen to him speak. It was like so pashut to him that, you know, things take time, but just sit silently, wait, and Hashem will save you. And I think that that's the pasuk of Nara Yisigam Zakanti, and I think that's really the story of Perek Lamed Zayin and Tehillim. I think it's telling you the story of Yosef and why Yosef was so successful. And the message, I think, for us is just to know that if we do our best to reenact what Yosef did, to know that Hashem will take care of us. He will always be there for us and always take care of us. Have a good Shabbos.